Nothing left to cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I think you need a microscope to see the Federal Reserve's target interest rate this morning. It's between 0.25%. Today, several central banks around the world followed the Fed's move yesterday with cuts of their own. Hong Kong, Kuwait, Norway. Everybody's trying to pry open the credit market with historically low interest rates. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, you've been talking to people. Any signs out there that this strategy is working?
Well, the rate at which banks will lend and borrow dollars between themselves, that has come down this morning, but not by enough to indicate the credit crunch is over. Credit is still very tight. There is still a substantial gap between zero and the 1.5% that the banks are lending each other dollars. So there still remains that fear, there's still that lack of trust and a terrific reluctance to lend.
Well, there's no place else to go with interest rates. You can't go beyond zero. So what are people saying might work at this point?
What people here are saying is the only thing that is likely to work now is for Obama to get into power and to really unleash the mother and father of all stimulus packages. They're talking about $1 trillion that he's going to have to throw at the American economy. Then, coupled with these very low interest rates, then perhaps the U.S. and then the global economy will begin to recover.
I'm sure the taxpayers are happy to hear that, Stephen.
Indeed.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
A bailout for the big three could be part of Obama's plan, if there are three left by January. President Bush still hasn't committed to it, and Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says he has no plan to tap the second half of the $700 billion. Meanwhile, non-Detroit automakers are still reporting bad news. Today it was Honda. Alisa Roth has more.
Honda says it expects to make even less money this year than it had thought before. The company predicts it'll make around $2 billion. That's 64% less than its last forecast. This is the third time this year it's issued profit warnings. Like everybody else, it seems, Honda's having a hard time selling cars. The weak dollar's also hurting it. The company loses around $200 million every time the exchange rate drops by a yen. Honda's problems point to the global nature of the crisis the industry's in right now. Honda's cars have typically sold well, and the company doesn't have to deal with the legacy costs that have crippled Detroit. Honda's been trying to cut back. Managers are taking pay cuts, and the company's delaying production at a couple of plants. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
In Asia today, the stock markets close mostly higher, but European shares are down a fraction so far. Big gains on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow added 359 points, about 4%. The NASDAQ and the S&P added more than 5%. Oil's at about $44 a barrel this morning. OPEC is meeting in Algeria today. Saudi Arabia has already said the cartel will yank 2 million barrels off the market to try to prop up the price. Plus, Russia and other non-OPEC countries have said they will cut production. But oil traders are just kind of shrugging it off. Here's John Dimsdale.
The International Energy Agency predicts world demand for oil will fall this year for the first time since 1983. Even China is using less oil. And with surpluses piling up, oil prices are dropping.
OPEC knows a challenge before them.
Joseph Stanislaw is an oil analyst for Deloitte. He thinks despite calls for bigger cuts from some members, OPEC can successfully engineer a 2 to 2.5% cut in production over the next few months. But he doesn't think Americans will notice much difference.
It's not going to rocket the price back up to $100 a barrel. It may help stabilize it or settle it in some range of between $50 and $60 per barrel. That will do no damage to the U.S. economy.
He says that'll be a comfortable level for American businesses and consumers who'll be paying $1.60 to $2 a gallon at the gas pump for most of 2009. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
The National Retail Federation says less than half of Americans have finished their Christmas shopping. That's a 10% drop from last year and a clear signal of procrastination. Commentator Will Wilkinson says people who can should get on with it.
Penny pinching is a time-honored recession tradition. For those who've lost a job, are dealing with reduced hours or wages, or face a real risk of economic pain, it's plain sense to do what it takes to make ends meet in lean times. Cancel showtime, pile on the sweaters, go unto the checkout armed with coupons. When you have to do it, belt tightening's no joke. But gladly, most Americans don't have to, not even in this economy. Most of us won't lose our jobs, won't face a pay cut. Yet we tighten anyway. Dollar-stretching tips circulate even among the most comfortable. But if your paycheck's intact and you're still cutting back, you may be part of the problem. When home values surge, we tend to feel richer and spend a bit more, even if we don't plan to sell the house. Economists call this the wealth effect, and it's got a recessionary flip side. So when our 401ks dive as the economy hits a rough patch, we feel a bit of a pinch and rein in consumption. Even when our incomes and the long-term value of our investments hasn't changed a bit. In short, we don't always look to our personal financial fundamentals when choosing whether to splurge or scrimp. But just as irrational exuberance can keep a speculative bubble afloat, equally irrational anxiety and the ethos of austerity it produces can trap us in the doldrums. So maybe you went a bit crazy during the boom and now is the time to return to financial sanity. Good. But if you were living comfortably and responsibly within your means last year, you probably don't need to cut back now. Of course, none of us is duty-bound to stimulate the economy by snapping up 50-inch plasma screens just because we can afford it. But if you're blessed with good fortune in these hard times, you're not helping anyone if you let frugality chic stop you and yours from having a very Merry Christmas indeed.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog on our website, marketplace.org, and you can share your thoughts with us as well on the economic fallout. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.